Welcome back to the program, 1-300-736-736. This is the lunch hour for Subway's Mediterranean range with four craveable flavours. The open line, thanks to Werribee Kia, Janan and the team down at Werribee Kia. Drop in, see Janan, tell him we sent you. He'd love to have a chat to you down there. Plenty of stock at Werribee Kia, 7-year warranties on all new Kias and top dollar paid for all trade-ins as well. So 1-300-736-736, the number for the open line for Werribee Kia. I'll head back to your calls very shortly. Andrew Gaze is going to join me a little bit later on as well. And I'll read out a few of your speckled texts. So for speckled cash loans up to $2,000 paid fast, 0433 98 11 16. Well, we get a couple of callers on the line. Just have a quick chat to John Haynes, who's the Gold Coast Suns general manager of football. He's been good enough to jump on the line for a chat. Welcome to you, John. Great to have you on the program.
Afternoon, Dwayne. Great to be here, mate. Thank you.
It's been an interesting start to the Marsh Community Series, and you guys probably had the best first weekend of any team. Were you surprised by the performance on the weekend, or does it kind of vindicate what you were thinking, and that is that Matt Rowell and Noah Anderson and Brandon Ellis and Hugh Greenwood might actually change this club and help change it for good?
Yeah, we took a fairly balanced approach into the game, Dwayne, given the nature of the game being our first pre-season hit-out. But I think what we were most pleased about was just seeing the transfer of what we've been practising over the summer. We've had a really heavy teaching focus and heavy education focus, and to see that transfer into the game, from a team perspective, was really pleasing. The lads that you just mentioned there before obviously all perform well, but that's been off the back of what they've done over the last sort of 3 months as well. They've been really impressive, not only in terms of the way they play, but also the way they prepare and the way they act around the club. So they've really added to the place, no doubt.
Now, I was, convinced by the turning of the corner appearing on the weekend, and we all know how good Matt Rowell and Noah Anderson have been at junior level. There's been a lot of these stories come from the Gold Coast Suns in pre-seasons past, though, and when you come to the season proper, it doesn't really eventuate. You lost your last 18 games in a row last season. But the situation is, I presume, you've learnt so much by failures of the past. Can you tell me what the club might have learnt from what's transpired in the last 10 years to make this regeneration a bit more believable for the public?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question, Dwayne. I think that learning analogy you've just used in that question is spot on. From our point of view, we're very much in a learning phase, and we've tried to take as much learning out of everything that we've done over the past few years to plan our pre-season and plan the next few years as well. We undertook a fairly aggressive reset at the end of 2018, and we brought in almost 30 players in that time, and past two drafts and trade periods. We've also brought in nearly 20 new staff as well. So the actual level of change within the overall footy department, both from a staff point of view, but how we actually design the program, has been significant. We've had 25 players re-signed just last year, and we consider all of those players to be in our core group. And all of those players have come to us and said, look, we believe in the environment, we believe in the direction, and we believe in the plan. So I think we're getting some vindication that the reset that we undertook was the right thing to do. And the most important stakeholder in that particular decision is the players. That they'll vote with their feet, and they're certainly believing in what's transpired. And we've got a really clear plan on where we want to take the place, and we feel like we're starting to make some really good ground in that regard. But it's all off the back of really good foundations and good systems, which we think we're starting to get in place.
I remember walking through the Giants facility at the Olympic precinct and thinking, well, these players believe that they're at a cutting-edge facility and they're getting the best of all possible facilities to help them get the best out of themselves as footballers. Rodney Eade talked about cockroaches walking through the joint all those years ago when we tried to, understand where the Gold Coast were at, but we didn't really get an understanding of how far back they were starting from. So how much is facilities and the believability of players that you're giving them, cutting-edge people and cutting-edge facilities, help their enhancement as a footballer, as opposed to, just telling them we are giving you them and then they see a cockroach walk through the joint?
Yeah, well, and I think you've seen our facility up here, Dwayne. So, yep. We feel like it stacks up to any facility in the competition. you know, the Commonwealth Games were the catalyst for the design of the whole precinct in and around Metricon, and you know, the actual facility itself is like, it's world class. So I think any players or parent or player manager, anyone who walks through our facility at the moment can see that the players have got everything they need from a physical perspective. But that's the four walls, and that's everything that's in it. It's what the environment looks like. It's culturally, how do we behave? How do we interact with each other? All those other things from a people perspective that become really important once they see the shininess and the newness of the facility. So we feel like we've got that real well and truly ticked off. You know, we've got three ovals that we can train on. We've got an academy program. We've got an AFLW program. So we need that ground space, but we've got plenty of scope to be able to handle the number of athletes that that we take care of.
Have you had trouble luring the best people to the club so you can put the very best people around these great players that you've drafted out of junior football that have been the best at their age group? But because it seems to me that you've had a bit of difficulty in that regard as well.
I can't speak for the past, Wayne, but I can certainly speak for what's happened in the past couple of years. And certainly the people that we've identified and brought in, as I mentioned before, we've brought in 20-odd staff over the last 12 to 18 months. And some of them, you know, a lot of them are the very best in their roles within the industry. We've got the second most experienced coaching group in the competition when we look at actually years in the AFL. And we know that when people actually move up here and start to live here, they understand what an amazing community this is and what an amazing place it is to be an elite athlete, but also to raise a family and all those other things that are important to people as well. So we don't view that as an issue. We think we're mounting a case now that we've got a really strong point of difference in terms of our location. Some of the best athletes in the world live and train up here because of the environmental and training conditions. So, and we see that from a staff point of view as well, that when they move up here, they think this is just an amazing place to live. But now they can also couple that with a really high-quality football program and a great quality professional development program as well to make sure that we get the best out of them.
So if you turn the corner to the point that Stuart Dew will get a contract extension, is that where you're at now, given that you guys all believe it? We're in the right direction under Stewie?
Yeah, stability has been a hallmark of all the good clubs over the journey, hasn't it? So the negotiations with Stewie has been ongoing for a little while now, and all parties are really happy with where it's at, club, Stewie, and Stewie's management group. So we're really confident that'll get done at the right point in time, and we're really comfortable with where it's at.
What's the right commitment time for a new coach to be extended? Is it, you know, another 2 years, another 3 years? Is it ridiculous to think that you should extend beyond two or three?
It's probably not ridiculous, but it's also case by case. But I think there's a strong sense of understanding, as I said, amongst all parties, that the reset we undertook at the end of 2018 was significant. We'll be the youngest group in the competition by a fair way leading into this year, so we understand that whilst we've got great excitement and great trust that the group's going to build something really special, we understand it's going to take a bit of time as well. So our planning reflects that, both from a staffing point of view, also our list build and the way we're actually resourcing our footy program. So a number of years from that point of view, that we're working through that with, as I said, with Stu and his managing group at the moment. But whatever decisions we make as a footy club, it'll be for the long-term benefit of the club.
So do you think by winning more games, you'll automatically put backsides on seats, or is the Gold Coast just this place where you're never really going to get 25,000 regularly to your games?
Well, I think the Gold Coast community love their sport. There's no, as I said before, it's an amazing place to live and be active, so that the actual level of participation across all sports in the Gold Coast is enormous.
I agree with you, participation-wise, but you got to get backsides on seats, John.
No, there's no doubt about that. But at the same time, we're really, really confident. Well, two things. One, we've got a really passionate but comparatively small membership base. But we're also really confident that as the team starts to progress and starts to have some on-field improvement, that the belly of support within the community is there, and we've got no doubt that Metricon Stadium will start to reflect that in terms of its attendance. And we know that it's a great stadium to play at when there's a decent crowd there. It's a really noisy stadium. It's a really enjoyable stadium to play at. So we're really confident that the membership base will continue to improve as the team improves.
So how do you measure your improvement this year? Do you put a win number on it? How do you measure it? Because you might well improve and still win the wooden spoon. How are you going to measure it?
Yeah, you're spot on. We've been working through that over the last couple of months in terms of what our expectations and indicators for success are for this year. We think it fundamentally sits around a bit like what I touched on at the start. Are we actually seeing improvement in the way that the team's playing? Are we seeing a transfer from what we're educating and what we're teaching in a match day? So that's the team element. And from an individual perspective, we've got a really large focus on individual player improvement within the group. It's almost the number one indicator from a coaching perspective that players
give us one bit of how can we see it? How give us a parameter that we can see as opposed to, you know, your in-house numbers?
Well, I think you'll see improvement in our third, fourth and fifth year players. I think we physically, when Ben Ainsworth, you know, Will Brody, Jack Bowes, these sorts of players presented on the weekend, they're noticeably different in terms of their physical makeup. And all three of those lads performed exceptionally well on the weekend. So we're really confident, again, that third, fourth, fifth year year player, that's where our improvement as a team's going to come from. We obviously know the first-year players have got high-end talent and they're going to add. But in terms of the improvement of the team, we think that's where it's going to come from. So we're really confident that our fans and people in the AFL community will see that improvement from those players.
I definitely did see
some examples.
Yeah, no, I definitely did see a bit of that on the weekend. So that is a believable parameter. Hopefully, it ends up being the case. John, great to have a chat to you. Did you see the Polly Farmer story? What does an in-house general manager of football make of that Polly Farmer story today, and the concussion issue and how you handle it?
Yeah, I've only seen the headline, but I'm obviously aware of the concussion issue. Like it's a really serious issue in our game and something that we take really seriously and take strong advice from our medical department in that regard. And, you know, I think if we look at, you know, internationally as well, the story from a soccer point of view this week around the parameters they're putting around hitting the ball, we all know the NFL story. So, yeah, look, it's a really serious issue. There's no doubt that the AFL are putting good parameters around it. With these sort of issues, one, I think you've got to be really heavily guided by the medical professionals, and that's what, in our mind, that's what we'll continue to be doing.
John, great to have you on the program. Congratulations on the performance you put out on the weekend, and we hope that graph continues to go up and up. Thanks for your time.
No, pleasure, Dwayne.
John Haynes, Gold Coast General Manager of Football. 1-300-736-736. Take your calls. You heard John. I mean, I'm a believer. I saw the improvement. I know Isaac Rankin Jack Lukosius, Noah Anderson, Matt Rowell. They're all really good young players, but I also did see some improvement in some of their 2-, 3-, 4-year players. So, but I do think they could improve and still not get off the bottom. They could just win 3 more games and end up last with, you know, 7 wins. That's the tightness of the competition. So 1-300-736-736. I'll take a couple of your calls on the Suns, whether you're buying it or not. And Andrew Gaze did join me also. You're with Dwayne's World.